Good morning. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn it to Psalms. If you just let your Bible fall open right in the middle, you should be close to it. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 36. And just as a reminder, Psalm is the Hebrew word for song. And the Psalms are like the hymn book of the Jewish people. And there are all kinds of Psalms. If you look through the whole book, you'll find Psalms that are joyful, you'll find Psalms that are angry, you'll find Psalms that are repentant, and this one actually is a lament. The first book of Psalms, which is Psalm 1 through 46, is dominated by this kind of psalm. So if you're reading Psalm 146 and you're kind of feeling like, oh, 1 through 46, oh my gosh, keep going, because you're going to get to some more of the celebratory ones later. But why do you want to take a psalm that is mainly a lament for a celebration of an anniversary? Well, because the main theme of this section of the psalm is about not getting bogged down in the midst of challenges, but to embrace the steadfast love of God. And I think you know, if you've been around here, that this is one of my favorite words in Hebrew. Steadfast love is a translation of the Hebrew word chesed. And I've asked you to pronounce it before and remind you that you're not saying it correctly unless you have to wipe off the head of the person in front of you. Okay? So can we all say chesed together? Ready? Chesed. That's great. And, okay, now you can excuse yourself. Chesed. It's a beautiful Hebrew word that means steadfast love, but it can be translated as covenant loyalty. Covenant loyalty. That means God's covenant with us. Steadfast love. Unfailing love. Faithfulness. It embraces all of those ideas. And so listen to this excerpt from Psalm 36 that celebrates the light and life of the world that comes into our lives through that beautiful Hebrew word, chesed. Excellent.
A reading from Psalms chapter 36, verses 7 through 9. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of light. In your light we see light. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, grateful for these words of song that come to us from so long ago, reminding us that people have been singing of your steadfast love for generations. May we, as we gather this day as followers of Jesus, hear these words for our lives this day, so that we might go out into the world to be your witnesses. Amen. Southern Baptist preacher Carlisle Marney used to say that your personhood, your psyche, your personality, your persona can be thought of as a house. So if you picture that with me, you know, it might be fairly elaborate and a complex structure. Or it might be something less sophisticated, maybe something simple and something very functional. Some of our personalities, our personas, are ostentatious. Some are modest. But each one of us has a number of rooms as part of our lives in which we can find different behaviors, different ways we relate to people. So each of us have a formal parlor for when we're greeting people, the way we behave when we're first meeting people. Some of us have a family room where we're more relaxed. And most of us have a bedroom and a kitchen. So all of us have different rooms in our houses. But Carlisle asks us to step out onto the front lawn of our house. And if you look up at the balcony, you will see that this house has a spacious, gracious balcony. And there are people up there in each of our balconies. Marnie, who's a southerner, says that his balcony is white wrought iron with wicker rocking chairs. Can you picture it? And there are people in those rocking chairs on his balcony. And depending on whether you're Baptist or Presbyterian, they're up there sipping iced teas or bourbon. The people on your balcony are strong, positive influences in your life. Your heroes, your heroines, your models, your mentors, your parents are probably up there, your grandparents. And there are some folks up there that you've never met, but they influenced and helped you. And there are some really big names up there, people whose lives inspired you from afar and called you to a deeper faith and courage and stamina and love and discipline. The people on your balcony are your saints. And today at the Fountains, it's kind of an All Saints Day, isn't it? It's our 25th anniversary as a fellowship. And even though the seeds of that congregation have been planted years before, it's time to walk out as a community on our collective lawn and look up and greet all of those saints. To greet them, to call the roll, to name them, to wave to them. Our saints, the great ones and the small ones, preachers and Sunday school teachers, committee members and chair stackers, punch pourers and refreshment wranglers, people who have given big bucks and people who have given just a little bit out of what they have, prophets and visionaries, all of them playing a part in bringing us to today, and each and every one of them very, very different with unique gifts, but all of them together have set some DNA in place that helps guide us. And when a bunch of Fountains leaders got together to determine who the Fountains is, they came up with a list of the words and phrases that describe this fellowship. Check out again the front of your worship guide, where David Wicklund has turned those characteristics into a flame of the Spirit. He worked with Todd Elrod and Keith Chapman and Becky. Can you guys stand up, please? Because this was a collective effort. David, Keith, Todd, look at that. Oh my gosh, this is beautiful. Taking all of those elements into consideration, we recite our mission statement every Sunday, don't we? We reach, serving others with openness. We touch with joyous, hopeful celebrations. We teach authentic spirituality and biblical integrity. But even with those good intentions, it's good to remember the sign that one of my professors had displayed prominently on his desk. What God wants is spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. And that really says it as well as anything. We are called to bear fruit according to Jesus' admonition to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor. I know you guys know that. But to bear fruit, what does that look like? Well, look around. Look around. We are the fruit. The fruit of the labor of countless individuals that have dedicated themselves to creating a safe place where people could explore the spiritual lives and make their way in a world as followers of Jesus. Look around at this place, this community, the witness that this community has as a prophetic voice in the community is the fruit of all of those labors, because this place is like very few others. But our job is not to be satisfied with being beneficiaries of other people's work, but to take the torch and to work as we can to light the way to what our psalm today calls the fountain of life. There's an old legend that Jesus has about Jesus meeting an angel on the front porch of heaven after his work on earth was done. It's said that their conversation went something like this. The angel said, "We've missed you. Where have you been?" And Jesus said, "I've been to earth." And the angel said, "Well, were you gone long?" "About 30 years, give or take a couple years." "Well, that's not very long." "Well, I suppose you could say I died rather young." "Well, how did you die?" "Martyrdom. I was crucified." Oh my. You must have had a great influence though, yes?" "I ended up with 11 friends." Well, then how then will your work continue?" "Well, I left it in the hands of my friends. And if they fail, I have no other plans." Friends of Jesus Christ, Jesus has no other plans. Look around. We are called to be witnesses to that grace and love. It is our turn to dare, to dream, to see the vision of what Christ calls you to be, what Christ calls us to be as a community. One of those great books that not a lot of people know about is Bill Shorr's The Cathedral Within. Bill had a successful career in politics and presidential campaigns before organizing a group called Share Our Strength. And its main purpose, it now is at nokidhungry.org, and I encourage you to go and look at their website, is to attack the problem of hunger in our country. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars and got countless people involved in groups and businesses and as individuals in feeding hungry children right here in our country. And Shorr says, "You will do good serving others, but just as important, you will feel good doing it. Your life will be transformed. You will feel better than you have ever felt in your life because there is something in you that wants to do good. There is something in you that wants to be a part of something greater than yourself." Shorr suggests that we can learn from cathedral builders what life is all about. Those were the days when communities were united in a common purpose, and they would do two things. One is they would devote their lives to something so big that there was no chance that they would ever see it completed. Most of us do just the opposite, don't we? We work with something manageable. That is what we look for in a job or a career or a project to give ourselves to. We invest all our energies until it becomes something big or until it's completed. Then we step back and we admire and enjoy our accomplishment. We point to it and say, "Yeah, that's something that I did. I reached my goal. I can retire now. I have a sense of satisfaction that I did what I set out to accomplish." Cathedral builders don't work that way. They commit themselves to something that they will never see the completion of, and so vast that they'll have only one small part in it. Cathedral builders are those who use their gifts, their talent, their money for something that they won't see completed. Durham Cathedral. Have any of you ever been to these cathedrals in Europe? Durham Cathedral took 400 years in the building. When we called them and said we were celebrating our 25th anniversary, they went, "Big deal." 400 years to just build the building. To build a cathedral, everyone in the community takes part. artisan, craftspeople, everyone sees it through. None of us is entitled to reap the benefits without giving something of ourselves back, even it might be perceived as small. Macrina Weidecker, in her book, The Tree Full of Angels, tells a story about being in a train station and watching a little girl who had a baby brother trying to get him up to the fountain so that he could drink. And she was just not quite big enough to lift him up. And he was trying to get to it so that he could get a drink. And just as she was about to get up and help them, the little girl dashed across the way and grabbed a spare stool from the shoeshine stand that wasn't being used and ran back and set it down and put her brother up there so he could get his own drink. And she looked at that and said, you know what? That's not a very big thing. That's not very much. But it was something that left such an impression on her, just a moment of helping someone, that it has become a symbol of prayer for her. Something that she looks back at in her life as even the smallest thing being an act of service for someone else. And isn't it in the small things that we make a difference in the big picture? It's only when we take seriously Jesus' words that the greatest among you is the servant of all, that we start to get traction. Marion Wright Edelman, who is the founder of the Children's Defense Fund, has said, service is the rent that each of us pays for living. Service is the rent that each of us pays for living. It's the very purpose of life. The reality is that even with huge projects lasting beyond our own selves, beyond our imaginations, it finally comes down to a lot of the little things that each of us is able to contribute. I mean, that's the story of the fountains. Over and over again, in big ways and in small, a community of servants with a vision for the future. So many people, so many acts of kindness, of generosity, of prophetic voices, of courage, and all in the short span of 25 years. Tony Campolo tells a story about being on the boardwalk in Ocean City, New Jersey. And he watched and observed this little tiny girl walking down the boardwalk with this gigantic, gigantic cotton candy. It was almost bigger than she was. And as she was passing by him, she asked her, "How can you eat all that?" And her answer is our stream of thought for today. "I'm really much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." That's what the fountains is all about, isn't it? Ever since its beginning, we have been bigger on the inside than we have been on the outside, pursuing those qualities which build on the call to witness to the love of God in the world, to be a fountain of life and light in our community. Take one more look at the front of your worship guide. Look at all of the characteristics of this place called the Fountains. I would belong to a church like that. Would you? Yes. One day an 8-year-old was at a wishing well and was a little perplexed about what to ask for. So his mother recognized a man that was standing nearby and encouraged him to go over and ask the man what he should wish for. So the boy went over to the man and said, "I understand that you're pretty smart, and if I were to wish for something, what would you tell me to wish for?" And the man replied, "Well, you don't really have to wish for anything. Just live according to these four words. Think about everything, your values, the whys and the wherefores of everything. Believe in yourself based on what you've been thinking. Dream about things that can be, and dare to make your dreams a reality. So think believe, dream, and dare. And with that, Walt Disney patted the boy on the shoulder and went his way. It's not bad, huh? We don't have to wish for anything either, because we are heirs to people who have shown us how to think, how to believe, how to dream, how to dare, all in the service of a conviction to commit themselves to something greater than themselves. So as we celebrate our 25th anniversary, as we look up on the balcony and we thank those saints who've seen us this far, may we embrace a future that has each of us reaching, touching, and teaching by sharing the stories of Jesus. Amen.